Let's say you're making a list of American cultural exports. Fast food might come to mind.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac.
The U.S. has left its cultural fingerprints all over the globe in countless ways, and today we're making the case for stand-up comedy as an important cultural export. Right now, there's a whole new crop of stand-up comics stepping into the spotlight in other countries, and some of them are coming here to make it big in the U.S. This holiday special is all about them. Not just the comics themselves, but also the circumstances that inspire their jokes. We begin with a guy we talked to in December. His name is Learnmore Genasi, and he's from Zimbabwe.
When I first came to America, I saw something I didn't know existed. I saw poor white people. What? How is this possible? This white guy was like, can I have a dog?
Learnmore Genasi moved to the U.S. in 2021. We caught up with Learnmore in Pittsburgh, where he lives. Learnmore, great to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Now, I want to get to your name first, Learnmore. Yeah. It's just like it sounds. It's your given name. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so my name is Learnmore. It's because Zimbabweans, you know, we just give our kids names like this. It's a very Zimbabwean tradition. It's because Zimbabwe is a British colony. So back then, it was a great idea to give your child an English name. You know, but black people start going crazy with it and naming their kids names like learn more, give more, talk more, you know?
Now, talk to me about where you grew up. You're from a small village in Zimbabwe. What was it like?
I grew up in a small village. It's called Chimanimani. Most people, when I tell them that I come from a village, they expect me to talk about how bad my childhood was. But I had the most amazing childhood. Like, I had space. I had, you know, just the family that, you know, that loved me and just community. It was so beautiful.
So how did you discover stand-up comedy?
Well, it was this particular day when my grandfather was actually worried on where he's going to get some money to, you know, to feed us. So then he was worried, he was stressed, and then he turned on the TV and there was comedy on TV and he started laughing. And I just thought to myself, I want to be able to do that, you know, at a very young age. And I started mimicking that. That's when the dream started.
So who was that comedian at that point? Was it a Zimbabwean comedian?
No, there was no comedy in Zimbabwe at all. So it was Roy Atkinson. He used to do this character called Mr. Bean. You know,
yes.
Yeah, and that's why my comedy is so physical, because of that.
Huh. So what other comedians did you listen to once you got the bug that made you think, I really want to do that?
So I went straight into a rabbit hole where I was just searching for comedy and what, you know, the different forms of comedy. And then stand-up comedy, just fell in love with it as soon as I watched Richard Pryor and then Eddie Murphy. And then I watched Trevor Noah at some point. That's when I was like, an African can do it, so I can do it too, you know? So that's when I just started falling in love with stand-up comedy.
So how did you get your start? I mean, if there wasn't much stand-up comedy in Zimbabwe, how did you go about it?
Well, I just kind of like went on Facebook. Facebook was so new in my country at that time. And there was a comedy show that was happening at a local comedy club in the capital city of Zimbabwe, Harare. So I traveled from Chimanimani to Harare to try and do a 5-minute spot at that comedy club. And it was horrible. I got booed on stage. Like, a guy threw a chair on stage while I was performing. It was that bad.
Wow.
Because what was funny in my village was not funny in the capital city. So I had to learn just like that.
Aha. That's an early valuable lesson, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've kind of used it in my career because I come from Zimbabwe and then I moved to America. Again, what was funny in Zimbabwe was not funny in America. So I had to use the same principles I've learned when I moved to America. Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting because some of your jokes that you use in comedy clubs in the U.S., they play on the fact that you're an immigrant.
I'm sorry. Is it the air conditioning? Are you in a relationship?
No, okay.
I got my green card now, so this time it's for love.
So, that's a classic. A lot of your comedy is very observational, you know, from the perspective of someone who's been influenced by American popular culture, but is now here in the U.S. to give us a reality check.
Listen, I've been learning a lot about American culture by watching American movies. And I've noticed every time when America makes a movie about Africa, it doesn't make sense to Africans. Yeah, I was watching The Lion King the other day. I was like, why do these lions have American accents? And they're like, in Africa? And here's the messed up part. The only animal they gave an accent was the monkey. What? Yeah, and it was Caribbean. What is this? What kind of Africa is this, you know? But I'll give them this, though. The only accent that made sense to me as an African was Scar's accent, because he was British and he wanted land. I was like, ha-ha! That sounds very familiar.
Now, that clip was from one of your performances on America's Got Talent.
Yes.
And you made it to the finals of that show.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Oh, my God. That was such... Even till today, I still can't believe I made it to the finals. It still feels like a dream because it opened so many doors.
Yes, and as I understand it, comedians don't usually do well on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, yes. It's so tough. It's such a tough competition for comedians because you're performing after like a spectacle, like a band with lights, you know, and just different musicians and just, you know, and then you go there with your jokes. So it's a different art form, you know.
I want to play another clip from your performance on America's Got Talent. It's a cultural comment on Americans and their dogs.
Okay.
It's crazy. The other day I was just taking a walk, enjoying my day. Then I saw a dog in a stroller. Yeah, it was just chilling right there, enjoying its life. And the lady was like, so this is my dog. His name is Mozzarella. He's like a rescue, but I like to think he rescued me. Do you have a dog? I was like, yeah, I have a dog in Zimbabwe. What breed is it? I was like, I think mine is just brown. Yeah, I think that's the name of the breed, brown dog. And then she's like, can I see a photo? Can I see a photo of your dog? I don't have a photo of my dog. Because my dog is an employee. Yeah, it works for me. It hunts for us. It protects us, security. Do you think Simon Cowell has pictures of his employees on his phone?
And of course, that got a roar because Simon Cowell is one of the judges.
Yes, yeah.
I'm wondering if part of your goal as a Zimbabwean comedian here, observing Americans, is to get Americans to reflect back on themselves and on things they may take for granted.
It's not just Americans. It's the whole world, because the perception of the whole world on America is different with reality. So I think for me, I fit in between there to kind of like keep people in check and say, hey, no. It's like this here. Oh, hey, it's like this there. So, yeah, that's what I think.
That conversation with Learn More Genasi took place in December, and now he's on tour with shows in the U.S. this summer and fall.